Welcome to the Pixels and Dice podcast, a show by and for gamers of all types. We cover everything from retro gaming to pen and paper role playing and everything in between. So without further ado, here's your host, Scormus.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Pixels and Dice, the gaming podcast for all gamers. Now, as the nice robot lady out front just told you, I'm your host, Scormus. Now, before we get started, I want to say a little bit about what this show is, where I see it going in the future, and who I am. It's going to make this real brief. First of all, I'm Scormus. I'm the lead content developer over at Gaming Stuff, which, by the way, this is the official podcast of the Gaming Stuff community. You can find us at gamingstuff.website. Yes, .website. Check it out. Seriously. It is a URL, I promise. Anyway, what this show's going to be about is basically gaming. Okay, very simple. But we're going to cover all types of gaming. I'm going to cover retro gaming, which I am really into. Game emulation, all that sort of thing. We're going to talk about MMORPGs, another big passion of mine. We're going to talk about live-action role-playing. We're going to talk about tabletop role-playing. We're going to talk about board games from time to time. If you can imagine it, we're probably going to talk about it, as long as it's gaming-related. I'll try and keep it interesting. Now, I know I am a solo host, but my intention is to occasionally bring on guests, and maybe eventually, if this show goes somewhere, maybe we'll look at getting a co-host. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I keep planning to do that with other podcasts I've done, and it just never works out. It's real hard to do that on my schedule because I work nights and I tend to stay up all night on my weekends, and that's when I'm recording. And nobody really wants to be recording in the middle of the night while their family's sleeping. Who would have thought? My wife is very, very forgiving. Anyway, a little bit about me. I have been blogging and podcasting and making machinima and doing videos about gaming, for a couple decades now. Used to be over at .com, and at, you may have heard of me from the MMO Troll video podcast or Massive Failure audio podcast, or maybe Roleplay Domain audio podcast, or the old, and I mean old, Full of Fail video podcast on YouTube. Maybe, probably not. Never really got huge on any of those projects, but with the change of web hosts recently, I found the opportunity to move away from the significantly hard to spell, although rather humorous, URL, and thus to completely rebrand into something new. So now we're doing gaming stuff over at gamingstuff.website. And so that means new show. Why bring along the audio podcast when I can be doing Pixels and Dice and do something a little more different with it? So anyway, as a gamer, I have been doing this even longer than I've been blogging about it. Basically, my brother and I started out playing Dungeons & Dragons back in the late 70s. Yes, I'm old. Anyway, we've gone through various tabletop role-playing and board games and, those little miniature games, you know, battle games like Warhammer and all that. We've done all that stuff. And, of course, grew up with the old, now considered retro, consoles. Atari 2600, Pong, the original NES, things like that. And, of course, PC gaming has been a huge part of my life. And in the early to mid-2000s, got into playing MMORPGs, originally with Anarchy Online, and I played some City of Heroes, and of course World of Warcraft, Lord of the Rings Online, things like that. Currently I'm bouncing a lot between Lord of the Rings Online and Rift and World of Warcraft. Although I do play other games, WildStar, The Secret World, whatnot. I've got a variety of lifetime and free accounts across the multiverse of different MMOs out there. I don't play them all regularly, but I do play them. And anyway, so that's a little bit about me and the show. I hope you enjoy it. If you do, we should be up on iTunes fairly soon. If we're not already, Google Play. I'm hoping to get on Stitcher Radio and some other services. Or you can just go to gamingstuff.website and get us direct from the RSS feed there. Yeah. And no, I'm not going to stop advertising. Anyway, today's show, now that we're 6 minutes in, I want to talk a little about MMORPGs. Now, we all know that the genre isn't what it used to be, okay? Back in the heyday of the genre, what, 4, 5, 6 years ago, World of Warcraft was the king, at least for Western MMOs. There were some that were significantly bigger, but I mean, 12 million worldwide subscribers was the biggest we've ever seen in the West. And they were huge. They were this omnipresent power, and all the other MMOs were trying to be just like WoW, be the next WoW, or better yet, replace WoW. Right? And we all know how that happened, how that fell apart, and how all these companies that were just churning out MMOs like crazy, putting millions of dollars and years of work into these games, only to have them fall flat on their face within a year or two. Or they would quickly go free to play, or just kind of fade away into obscurity. Maybe they're still around, but nobody really cares. Right? Well, it didn't have to come to that. Back before World of Warcraft, the MMO genre was actually really stable. It wasn't a huge genre, but you had a few games that were considered huge for the time, like the original EverQuest had around 1 million players, you know? And that was considered big. There was a big community for them. And games were safe and solid and thriving at that level. Then, of course, World of Warcraft came along, completely changed everything in the Western market. And if you weren't doing 5, 6 million subscribers, you were automatically a failure. And that actually was bad for the genre. It eventually tore down the genre. And, well, for good or ill, everything's basically fallen into this trash heap of failed games, with only a few still out there that are limping along, quote-unquote. But that's not how I see it. I've been really looking at things the last few months, and to be honest, since the end of 2016, there's been signs that things are kind of turning around. And I'm not saying that we're going to go back to the great heydays of the MMORPG, where everyone was putting out new games and everybody was fighting for dominance out there. I'm not saying that's going to happen, no. What I'm saying is, we're looking at a return to normalcy. Basically, an even keel, where the genre basically realizes what it is, what success really is for this genre, and they stop trying to be WoW. Well, they already have. Nobody is trying to be WoW anymore. They're not. But they're just trying to make money. And there's money to be made. Now, people say, oh, well, all the gamers left the MMO genre. Well, yeah, a lot did. But really, a lot of us just got scattered out over way too many games. And I used to say this years ago, back on Massive Failure, that maybe the genre needed a complete collapse for it to be healthy. And it looks like that is indeed the case. We're seeing signs that games that were considered basically failures and forgotten are seeing a resurgence. Look at Lord of the Rings Online. Look at Dungeons & Dragons Online. Yes, they just got dumped, quote-unquote, by their original developer, Turbine, and their original publisher, Warner Brothers. But if you really look at it, they weren't dumped, quote-unquote. They were saved. Because the original developers of those games split off into their own independent company, and the rights to those games were then transferred over to that new company, Standing Stone Games. And since then, there's been a huge amount of interest in Lord of the Rings Online and Dungeons & Dragons Online. People are a lot happier to be playing them. And even though it's now being published by Daybreak, and there's some concern there because, you know, Daybreak, who used to be Sony Online Entertainment, they have this tendency to drop games at the drop of a hat. See Landmark recently, and other games before it, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. The point is, people are actually excited about Lord of the Rings Online, and they're excited about Dungeons & Dragons Online, where they weren't a year ago, or even 6 months ago. Until that big announcement in November and the transition of power, people were really kind of staying away from these games, and now they seem, at least, to be making more money, to be more vibrant. I've been playing a lot of Lord of the Rings Online as part of my vlog series I'm doing on one of my YouTube channels, Meander About Middle-Earth. You should check it out at Meander About Middle-Earth on YouTube. Anyway, I've been doing this vlog for, well, since the start of January, and I'm on a small server. I'm playing on Crick Hollow, and I am seeing lots and lots of people playing. Now, I started a new character, and so I've been doing a lot of playing in the low-level sections. And there's lots of people making new characters. Now, you could say, oh, well, you know, maybe they're just old players that have decided to make alts. And that's possible. I'm sure there is some of that. But you see new people, and I can tell they're new people because they're asking questions in chat. They're wanting to know how this works, how that works. And I'm also seeing it in some interest on my show that I'm doing because I'm getting asked questions about, hey, what do you think of the trait system? Or can you show us this or that or whatever? That isn't necessarily because they're new players, but it's to help out new players. The community around Lord of the Rings Online is embracing the people coming in, trying to help them out and develop the community again. Because there's always been a great community in Lord of the Rings Online, don't get me wrong. But we know it's gotten pretty small over time, and now that there's new people coming in, we absolutely want to encourage them to stay. Of course we would. But that's not the only signs that things have stabilized and returned to an even keel. Look at World of Warcraft. Now, granted, they had a few bad expansions in there. You know, Mists of Pandaria, I was not a fan. That was, so bad. Farming? Really? Farming? But okay, aside from that, Then we had Warlords of Draenor, which I was pretty excited about because they put in the garrison system, and I had always said for years that World of Warcraft needed a housing system. And I'm still saying that World of Warcraft still needs a housing system because what they gave us wasn't. And if it was their attempt at housing, oh, it was a poor choice. Yeah, at first it seemed, wow, this is really cool. And then once you've done it for the third time, because you have to do it on each individual alt. Yeah, whoa, not good. And you can't share. Nope. It's, not good. Everybody has the same freaking garrison. Anyway, there's neither here nor there. Point is, not the greatest, very grindy expansion. And I'm even going to go back before Mists of Pandaria. I'm going to say Cataclysm, while it had some good things, like Worgens, the race, and the revamp of the original world to a better graphics engine, that was great. Being able to fly in the original Azeroth was awesome. The storyline, not so much. The gameplay, not very interesting. I originally quit World of Warcraft right at the start of Cataclysm because, I just had enough. And I was gone for, I don't know, quite some time. I'd pop back in to try out the next expansion, but, it was a grinding few years, let me tell you. But now we've got Legion out. And Legion isn't perfect by any means, but it is certainly a lot better than the expansions we've had in the past. Now, did we see World of Warcraft jump back to their heydays, their great times? No, not exactly. They've still capped out around 10 million players, if I remember right. And that's not going to hold. People are going to leave. But here's the thing. Even at the worst of World of Warcraft, even at the grindiest, worst expansion point, which would have been a year or so into Warlords of Draenor, they never really dropped below 5.5 million players. And I'm sorry, every other Western MMO out there would kill to have 5.5 million players. That is still amazing amounts of success. And so we've got this great juggernaut, which maybe not as big as they once were, but they're still a juggernaut. And they're bouncing back and forth in the mid to high 10 million range, you know? Between 5 and 10 million, kind of bouncing back and forth between there. And that's great. And they're pumping out more content, and that's even better. But how does this show that the rest of the genre has basically settled in? Well, we're not, other than Landmark being shut down and Asheron's Call being shut down recently, do you see a whole lot of games getting shut down anymore? No, there were a bunch for a while. And now, it's kind of just faded to a stop. The games that have faded away or died have pretty much faded away or died, for the most part. Now, I know Daybreak killed off a bunch of their old games, so that amounted for a huge slaughterhouse through the genre. But what they have left seems to be doing okay. You know, EverQuest 2, H1Z1, things like that. And we have new games that have come in. Well, new-ish. They're mostly their Asian games that have been translated over to the Western market, like Black Desert Online. And that game's actually doing pretty well. And it's kind of cool, you know? I have friends who completely left playing MMOs. completely left, didn't intend to come back at all. And now they're playing Black Desert Online. Why? They felt that itch. They came back. That was the game that they were looking for, and now they're happy playing it. They're bouncing between that and Ark action. So that's kind of cool, you know? Now, I'm not saying that everybody who used to play MMOs are going to come back. That's a pipe dream, but we don't need them to. The communities that exist in the games that are still out there, the larger of the survivors, let's say, you know, the Star Wars, the Old Republic, they're pretty stable. Star Trek Online, fairly stable. Lord of the Rings Online, increasing. Dungeons and Dragons Online, increasing. Neverwinter, stable. Secret World, WildStar, Elder Scrolls Online. Do you see people freaking out about, oh, they're going to shut down this year? No. Now, a lot of that has to do with most of them being free to play or buy to play with microtransactions. Now, I'm not the biggest fan of free to play or microtransactions in gaming, but let's be honest, it's a reality. This is what the industry needs to stay afloat. The subscription model just wasn't going to cut it as the only way for games to make money, because back in the early to mid 90s, the MMOs that were out then were charging, you know, roughly $15 a month. And now, what is the standard subscription rate for the games that, you know, monthly? The games that actually do have subscriptions, like Final Fantasy XIV and World of Warcraft and others, $15 a month. So the standard subscription rate hasn't gone up in basically 20 years. And we expect these companies to continue to make a profit, even though their costs have risen quite a bit over the last two decades. Plus. No. So basically, it was inevitable that free-to-play would come along. Microtransactions would come along. And whatnot. And to be honest, while I may not like it, it is what it is. Without free-to-play, would I be playing Rift? No. Probably not. Would I be playing WildStar? No, I can guarantee you I wouldn't. Star Wars The Old Republic? No. Now, other games I've bought lifetime subscriptions for, like Star Trek Online, Champions Online, Secret World, Lord of the Rings Online, so those don't really count. I'm not paying a monthly fee for them anymore, but I paid up front to play them. I paid quite a bit up front to play them. I've put maybe 25 hours into Star Trek Online, for example. That was an expensive $300 to spend for that much gameplay. Yeah. But anyway, point is, without free-to-play, I wouldn't be playing those other games. To be honest, I just wouldn't. And so free-to-play allows players like me and a whole lot of other people to go out and actually enjoy games, contribute to the communities, and actually maybe occasionally spend a little money. I'll be honest, I vowed never to give Turbine another dollar when it came to Lord of the Rings Online. But now that Standing Stone Games is running them, well, I'm probably going to buy me some Lotro points. Even though I don't need them, I get 500 a month for free as a lifer. I'm still going to put some money into that, into their coffers. Why? Because I like the game. I like the direction the game is going. I like what I see for the future. And I think a lot of people see it that way. I think a lot of people are seeing that there's not this huge fear that, oh God, my favorite game's going to go under. All games are going to fail under the shadow of World of Warcraft. No. People have started to ignore World of Warcraft. It's there. It's a thing. People come and go to that game as new content comes out. But did it kill off the rest of the genre? No. It culled the flock. Sure, you had games like APB and Fallen Earth and whatnot that they may still exist, but do they really? I mean, really? I don't really think you can call those games as really being a thing when they have maybe a few thousand players, if that. And there's still a lot of games out there that most people don't even think of that are out there that are in the same boat. They may fade away, they may close down in the future, but they're not where the majority of the community is. The community has latched on to maybe 20 MMOs out there, and they're stable for the most part. They're continuing to receive content, they're continuing to be developed, and they're making money. That's what matters. The developers and the, you know, companies making these games are making money. They're not making World of Warcraft money, but they're making enough money to keep going, to keep developing, to make it worthwhile. And that's what matters. That's why I'm saying we've reached an even keel. We've gone back to the days prior to World of Warcraft, where it's not embarrassing for someone to say, hey, I've got, you know, 300,000 subscribers. I've got 500,000 subscribers. Because that's perfectly legitimate. Those numbers are definitely going to keep a game going. Is it 10 million subscribers? No. Is it 5 million subscribers? No. Is it enough to keep Anarchy Online going after all these years? Hell yeah, it is. Is it enough to keep The Secret World going? You bet. Is it enough to keep Lord of the Rings Online going? Yes. So where we're at now is actually a good place. We're in a place where before World of Warcraft, people were looking forward to EverQuest 2. And they were looking at a big jump. They'd end up around 1 million subscribers, right? Great. And they did. And that was going to be the big juggernaut. But everyone else wasn't worried that, oh no, in the shadow of EverQuest, everybody's going to shut down. No, because that would be that one or two or three games out there that have around 1 million subscribers. And everybody else is good with 50 to 100,000, maybe 200,000 players. And that's fine. It's enough to get by and keep those games going and make a tidy profit even. That's great. But then World of Warcraft came in and, of course, changed everything. But now, these games are back to where they should be. And there's more of them, a lot more, that are considered standard, stable MMOs. I mean, people think, oh, well, you know, Rift, it must have died a while ago. No, it's actually doing pretty well. Had a expansion release not too long ago. Yeah. Making a tidy little sum. Oh, well, Arcage, that thing's doomed. Really? No, I think they're putting out new content too. Huh. Who would have thunk?